Today, I'd like to talk to you about the upcoming Chag HaShavuos. Especially today, in the year Toshin Pei, the year of the coronavirus lockdown, it's something we could never have imagined, something we're living through with a state of confusion as to where we're headed, where we're going, what tomorrow, what next month will bring. I mean, only Rabbeinu Shlomo knows. Tell you a secret, every year only the Rabbeinu Shlomo knows, but this year it's obvious to us all. I'd like to share with you a thought regarding the upcoming Chag HaShavuos, and I want to start with the Mishnah Berurah. Mishnah Berurah talks about the custom, the minhag, to eat milchiks on Shavuos, and gives a new reason. The reason brought in the Ramah has to do with the shtei halachem, to have two breads, because the carbon of Shavuos is two breads. And when you eat milchiks and fleishiks, you have to have a separate bread for the milchik, separate for fleishik. That's the primary reason. Uncharacteristically, the Mishnah Berurah brings, quote, B'shem Gadol Echad, Ani Shamati, B'shem Gadol Echad. And he gives what is certainly the more famous reason, that when Klal Yisrael stood at Har Sinai and when Mekabel the Torah, V'yardu min ahar, Lo Yimatzu Lechol Tekef, they didn't find anything that they could eat immediately, Kiyam Achol Echolav, except for milk. Milk is easily produced, easily made edible. Ki lebasar tzar chachana rabba, for meat, and needs a lot of preparation. Lishchait b'sakim baduk, to shecht with a proper knife. Ulenaker chute chelev, and to remove the nikor, the veins, to devein the animal, v'hadam, and to remove the veins, the bloody veins, uladiach v'limloich, to wash and salt. Ulevashel b'kelim chadashim, and to cook in new pots. Ki akelim shoyo mehem lekayinem nesro lehem, the previous kelim or aser. This, as I said, is the famous reason. Now, besides for the question of understanding the language of the Mishnah Berurah, because hakel moedim shabishabbos nitna Torah, the Torah was given on Shabbos, so they couldn't have meat, not because they couldn't, because it takes time to shecht, but because they're not allowed to shecht on Shabbos. So the language of the Mishnah Berurah is problematic. But more significantly, and what I'd like to discuss, is the question of what was Klal Yisrael expected to do on the day of Matan Torah. Now we imagine that when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they were eating only kosher, only glad kosher, only shechted meat, only salted meat. It appears from this Mishnah Berurah that that's not so. Even though Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov kept Kol HaTorah Kula, but somehow the Hamayin Am of Klal Yisrael, the general population of Klal Yisrael, which was not obligated to eat kosher, was not eating kosher at that time. The Ramban, in the beginning of Devarim, says very clearly that the mitzvahs that are in Devarim, including benching, were likely not kept for 40 years in the Midbar, because Moshe Rabbeinu informed them of it only immediately before his passing. So that Klal Yisrael kept the mitzvahs and were taught the mitzvahs gradually. The question is, how could it be that at the moment of Matan Torah, they would suddenly, in one moment, be obligated to know the laws of Shechita and to be obligated to Shecht? They would know what they're allowed to eat and what they're not allowed to eat. They heard Aseres Hadibros. They heard the Aseres Hadibros that we read in the Torah. They don't include anything about what you eat and what you don't eat. And if it's true, it's certainly true, that all Taryag Mitzvahs have a remez in the Aseres Hadibros, but Klal Yisrael, they were still eating treif. They were not holding by knowing all Ramazim. How are we to understand the expectation that Klal Yisrael would come down from Har Sinai and suddenly know how to kasher food, to know what's treif, what's kosher? How could it be? Not going to be, even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu would somehow magically implant a chip where they can get all the information, but it takes time to get all the information. We're human beings. Moshe Rabbeinu learned for 40 days. In one Maimed Har Sinai, before the 40 days, they come down from Har Sinai and they're supposed to know Kol HaTorah Kula. The whole thing is just difficult to understand. And the source is B'Shem Gadol Echad. We trust the Mishnah Berurah, certainly. But it needs some type of a deeper understanding. And that's what I want to share with you as we head to Shavuos. An insight into the physiology of a human being is that the physical body of a human being instinctively knows how to function, instinctively knows what to do. Just a baby, a 1 hour old baby knows to suck and to swallow. No one taught him, but he knows in a natural way. When a baby grows up, he knows to sit up, the head higher than the body. They don't sit up with their feet up and their head down. When they start to walk, there's an instinctive desire for healthy children to be able to walk. I was once on a Beis Din that was tivling a baby, a geiris of a ger katan. The father went into the mikveh, the baby in his arms, and slowly lowered the baby into the mikveh water. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. We expected the baby to cough up water, to gag. It was a baby that was a couple of months old. The baby was lowered into the water gently and instinctively held her breath under the water and then was pulled back up. It was fine. It was fine. The water was warm. It was comfortable for the baby. Never seen anything like it. But that is the nature HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us. Our inner organs, certainly. Baruch Hashem, our kidneys, our liver, our hearts, our lungs are functioning. We don't give it instructions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed us with an instinct to know. I always wonder about a fly. You ever saw a fly on the table and try to swat it? It flies away. It escapes. How does the fly know that it hurts for a human being's hands to clamp down on it? It obviously never happened to this fly before. Did the fly go to fly school? The physical world exists with an instinctive knowledge of what to do and what not to do. A baby who sees ice cream will want the ice cream. The baby will not start eating the tablecloth or mud. There's an instinctive knowledge to know what a person has to do. Adam HaRishon, before the Chet, had an instinctive knowledge of what's kosher and what's not kosher. Just as a baby knows to eat food and not to eat the plate, Adam knew. The Ramban writes in Bereishis Perek Beis Pasuk Tes, "Ha'adam ha'yoisa b'tivoi masheroi lasais kifi ha'tayra." That Adam knew instinctively what to do. Kashiyasu ha'shamayim v'chol tzvom. The heavenly bodies, they all do the right thing. Payal ha'yemes shepulasam emes lo yishanu es tafkidam. Adam, before the Chet, had an instinctive knowledge of what was good. Just like no human being would put a thorn beged on his body as a coat because thorns hurt, Adam would not put shatnez on his body because shatnez does not belong on the body. Adam, koidem ha-Chet, had that level of existence, that there was an instinctive knowledge of what was good. When the Gedolei Olam talk about the Yetzer Hara was chutz mei Adam, not toich Adam, this is what they mean. Simply put, there were enticements, there was Yetzer Hara, there were in the Sinus Yainais, but instinctively, Adam knew what was good for him. The Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, kept kol ha'Torah kula ad shelo nitna. They were zeichet to a zikui haguf, to purifying their physical body, to instinctively do Ratzon Hashem. There's a beautiful pshat in the Sefer Apirion and the Sfasemis as well. By the Akeda, it says, Vayishlach Avram es yadai, Vayikach es hamachel es lishchei es benai. Avram sent his hand to take the knife to Shech Yitzchak. The expression Vayishlach es yadai is unusual. He sent his hand. So they say, Avram's body knew instinctively that this is the wrong thing to do. His hand did not go out naturally to grab a knife and Shech his son. It took effort. Vayishlach Avram es yadai. Avram said, what do you mean I'm supposed to do this? Because the bodies, the physical bodies of the Avos, were instinctively guided to do the right thing. Rav Gedalia Shor and Dar Gedaliahu on Shavuos, on page Pei Aleph, says this about Klal Yisrael at Matan Torah. Poska zu hamasam. The Gemara says on Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav that at Har Sinai, poska zu hamasam. Their zuama, the spoilage ended. What spoilage ended? The zuama of the original chait of Adam Arishin, says Rav Shua, poska zu hamasam kedargas ha'avais shesigu atayra atchalay nidna. The others weren't told what's nevela and what's pasa b'chalav and what's shechita. They had the instinctive knowledge of what you can eat and how you prepare food for eating. And Aviseinu, Haim de Bar Sinai, before the Chet HaEgel, returned to that nature. So says Rav Shor, now you don't need pshet lecha nasev v'nishma. What's nasev v'nishma? Before you're told, how could you do? And Pashit, you could do before you're told, because instinctively, Klal Yisrael knew this is not right. This is the wrong thing to wear, wrong thing to eat, the wrong thing to say. Naseh. V'nishma, we're going to learn. We're going to learn the halachas. We'll know as well. Naseh, and then nishma. Now, of course, this answers our kasha on the Mishnah Berurah. It answers our kasha. The kasha was, when they came down from Har Sinai, how could they know? Just from one standing at Har Sinai, they can know what's kosher, what's treif, how to shecht, how to kasher kelim. How? The answer is you don't have to be taught. If you take a pot and it's discolored with some substance inside, you know it's got to be cleaned. And Klal Yisrael at the Matan Torah took a pot that had treifus inside, knew it had to be kasher. Then they knew how to kasher it. Poska zuha masa. The Chet HaEgel, of course, ended that existence. And we went back, we returned to the world before Matan Torah, the world of Chet Adam Arishin, the world where we don't instinctively do the right thing. Every Yom Tov has a certain energy, a certain mitzius in the day. We know that the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot is a time of tshuva renewal. It's a time of a tshuva renewal to regret our past actions and be mekabel for the future. Pesach, we know, is a month of cheres. There's a sense of freedom from our bad habits that tied us down in the past, a sense of renewal of a spring. It's easy to see the months of Nisan and the months of Tishrei as to what they have to renew in a person. Sivan is much more difficult. Kabbalah Satayr is much more difficult. People have a hard time to appreciate what is it? What is it, Shavuos? We should learn more, we learn all night. What sense of renewal is there? maybe this year, with everyone stuck at home, it's tougher than ever. If your obligation of Shavuos is to learn all night, it's going to be more difficult to learn all night. People in this shul usually have the good fortune of hearing a Rus Shir all night, Shavuos night. You can't fall asleep through that. But it's not going to happen this year. At home? The truth is that this Shavuos is a very opportune Shavuos. It's an opportune time. A set of values with which we've become accustomed, the way we look at the world, our habits, our extravagances, our fanciness, these are all things that are on hold. They're on pause. Poska zuhamosam. There's a lot of zuhama. There's a lot of stench. A lot of smell of the world around us that has creeped into our lives. Not, God forbid, the filth of the lowest classes of humanity, but the filth that looks like glitz and glamour of Madison Avenue. The Yoifi of Yavon. These things have crept into our lives. The natural tendency of a Jew to see Nevela, Trefa, we're not holding that. What about the natural tendency of a Jew to appreciate a shul? To appreciate Eretz Yisrael? You know, it causes me pain. I go to Eretz Yisrael, I see Jews on the way to Artzeinu Akdaisha looking at movies. When people go to Davin, they're sleeping through Zman Kriya Shema and Zman Tefillah. Whether you daven with me, you don't daven with me. How could it be? He's a Jew with beard and payas. He's going to Eretz Yisrael. It's a mystery to me. As someone going to Eretz Yisrael could look at a screen with Ritzicha, Giharayas, and Avodah Zarah all wrapped into one. And then I realized, some of us are going to Eretz Yisrael, Tartzeinu HaKadosha. Some of us are going on vacation. On vacation, it's a vacation spot. It is a vacation spot, Rachmana Litzlan. Today, we can get to Eretz Yisrael. The appreciation of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is something that we could reset. Today, we don't have fanciness. My wife was recalling how one Yom Tif ago, Sukkis, she was in one of the local supermarkets, and at the butcher counter, there was a woman who had ordered a certain cut of fancy meat, and the butcher said, "I don't have enough for everybody." And she was furious. I ordered it. Her in-laws are coming. She needs this fancy meat. I assure you, this Pesach, the Shavuos, she wasn't screaming for fancy meat. You see, there's a reset of our narishkeit, of our silliness. There's a reset of the things that distract us from being better people. There's a reset of the things that take up our lives. My son had a baby boy, my grandson. He made a bris on the first day of Pesach. In his home in Lakewood, he was the tzaddik, and there was a mayor, and that's it. His three older boys was there. It was the fourth bris, Baruch Hashem. He said he had never experienced such a bris. The focus was only on the mitzvah. There was nothing else. Nothing else. There were no balloons. Not that, God forbid, he would have balloons anyway. There were no bagels, no guests to greet. Focus on the mitzvah. I was a Masada Kedushin at a wedding of a young man in my shir. 10 men and myself, and we realized we needed a second kosher aid. The 10 men were all relatives. A simple wedding. My focus was on doing it right, on Devarim Shebikdusha, and that was it. Poska Zu Amasam, on our level, We can do it. We can make it happen. This Shavuos, we could make it happen. We could have a new Kabbalah Satara. The heir of Shavuos is Poska Zuamasam. We should do it. We can do it. And many of us will be part of the group that makes it happen. And it'd be a wonderful, wonderful Chag HaShavuos. Last year, there was an ad in our magazine. It said, Shavuos is not just cheesecake. And underneath it showed that Shavuos is blintzes. And this year, Shavuos is not cheesecake or blintzes. Shavuos is Kabbalah Satira. May it be a Kabbalah Satira for you, for me, for all of Klal Yisrael, as we come out of this nightmarish time into a time of greater joy. A good Yom Tov to one and all.